For the adults, we will continue to worship with the scripture reading that is taken from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 33. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hips, so that his hips was wretched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" Jacob answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Today, we are very glad to have Reverend Lau to share with us God's word, sermon title, Running Man. Reverend Lau, please.
Good morning, church. Sorry. This is the error. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time of worship. And yes, even the reminder why we are here to worship you. Not just to have a good time, to feel good, but to worship you because you are worthy. And we ask too, the Lord, as we read and hear your word today, may we get a clearer understanding of who we are, get a deeper knowledge of who you are, and also how to love you deeper, deeper each day, and how to live out our life in a way that will bring glory to your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. excuse me, I'll look a bit stiff, so apologize for that. Yeah. You all know this Korean show, Running Man? Yeah, it's a reality game show, right? So you have groups of some very handsome young man, handsome girl, okay? Then they will run around to different places in a competition. Then they will do certain challenges, certain things in order to win something, okay? And they will, throughout the series, okay, I think it's third or fourth time, I think they run it. Some were given gold medals, some were given gold bars, some jewelry, gold watches, okay? Yeah. But in a certain sense, some also look at our own life and say that, hey, aren't we also like in a race? No? So some call our life as a rat race, right? Because we're always running after something. So my question is, what are you running for? What are we running for? What is our goal in life? Is it just for personal achievement? For wealth, some will say, I want to earn my first pot of gold by what, before 30. Recently, there was a young man show out in the, I think CNA. He said that he went to business because he want to earn his first 10 million before he's 30 or something like that. Wow, I said, wow, very ambitious young man, okay? Yeah, I wish him luck, okay? But some would like recognition. Some just seek for peace. Okay, if you are in Ukraine, probably that's what you will aim for. Okay, or you are in Gaza, that too. Or safety, security. And some like me, as I get older, all I want is health. And not to get stiff neck, okay? Some is you look for the welfare of your family, right? But for some, like Jacob, his intent on getting God's blessing, okay? So for Jacob, he started his race in the womb, okay? Sorry, I will skip this. He started his race in the womb. So he's the typical running man, okay? He even did it faster than us, running in the womb, okay? And there was a prophecy, right? Because the mother was feeling this tussle, wrestling in the womb. So he went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord gave her this prophecy. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, okay? And two peoples from within you shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other. The older shall serve the younger. Wow. I don't know how you feel if you are the mother, okay? To hear this, okay? Even before the twins are born, they're already fighting, okay? And then the prophecy, okay? Doesn't sound really bright, okay? So, Jacob, right at the beginning, in the womb, he already is in this race, okay? And then for him, he is so-called running the race with very clear disadvantages. The rules of the game seems not to be for him. First, he's not the firstborn, okay? That means he got no birthright, okay? Second, he's not his father's favorite son. So he's likely not going to get the blessing, okay? Third, he's not a very skillful hunter. And his father like those wild boar meat kind of thing, no? So he's not going to be able to please the father, okay? He's more like the zai nan, the stay-at-home type, okay? But his interpretation of the prophecy is that he feels that he has the right of supremacy over Esau. That was taken from Dr. John White's book, okay? That's how John White wrote it. He said, Jacob felt that he has a right because the prophecy already said the older shall serve the younger, okay? So he felt that it's my right, okay? Even from birth, it's prophesied. But then how did Jacob end up here beside the Jabbok River in chapter 32, okay? I'm going a long way back, okay? Before we reach 32, let's quickly go through the history, okay? How he started this race, okay? So in chapter 25, okay, Jacob, through his own means, okay, he bought Esau's birthright, okay, with a bow of steel, okay? We are familiar with the story, okay? So he was born with a disadvantage, no birthright, right? So he bought it, okay? In chapter 27, he stole the blessing, okay? With his mother's help, okay? Then by chapter 27, his brother is so angry with him, saying that he will want to kill him. So what did he do? He fled with his mother's advice. So the sad thing is, after he did all this to gain his birthright, to steal the blessing, okay, he lost his family, his home. He got no peace, no prosperity, no protection, and no security. So actually by running, in the end, actually he inherited nothing from his father except that blessing that he stole, okay? So scripture told us that Jacob left Beersheba and went towards Haran. Okay, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun has set. Actually, scripture is very interesting. This is narrative, right? So if you are a movie director, this is how you will picture it, okay? Actually, this is the beginning of a downward trend, okay, of Jacob's life. And it's so appropriate, it's the sun setting. Everything going dark, okay? So it's not a very nice picture, okay? So the worst, but the worst is yet to come. And Jacob's spiral downward continue, okay? You see, in chapter 28, God still gave him a chance, okay? God met him and promised him that he is the Lord. Basically, if you read through the whole passage there, basically, God is promising him Abraham's blessing, no? The land, the offspring, and you check the original language, the offspring is seed, okay? Which actually is singular, okay? Again, it's exactly the same as Genesis 12, 1 to 3. The land, the seed, and then the blessing. All the families of the earth be blessed. Barak. Okay? I just want to point out one thing here. The all the families of the earth, that word earth there, is different from the other two earth, the land as well as the dust of the earth. The dust of the earth and the land are two same Hebrew word, but here, actually in Hebrew, the word was Adama. So it's literally the families of Adam. It's basically the families of the humankind. So he basically was given this same Abrahamic blessing in essence. Wow. Wasn't this the one that exactly what he wanted, right? But he's not so positive, no? Because his reply is, if God be with me and keep me in this way, give me bread, give me clothing, let me come again to my house in peace, then he shall be my God. Eh? Wow, he start to be very conditional, no? God, you only can be my God if you meet all these A, B, C, D conditions. So, while God was very kind to him, given him this very unconditional blessing that was given to Abraham, transmitted, given to him through Isaac, and he schemed so hard to get, and suddenly he is the one who lay out the condition, and it become very transactional. If you do this for me, then I will do this for you. Then you will be my God. So I'm glad that just now the worship leader point out all the it was a lesson, right? Point out that we don't worship God just because of the things he do for us. Or the things that he gives us. Or for the benefits alone. We worship God because he is God. But somehow, Jacob, in his race, he forgotten the most important thing. So, what happened when he rejected that? He continued to go downward, okay? So he reached Haran, but his struggles continue. He was started deceiving his brother, deceiving his father. Now, in turn, he was deceived into marrying Leah, which he worked 7 years thinking that he worked the 7 years for the sister, Rachel. But then ended up, he married Leah. And then he got to work another 7 years for Rachel. Okay? Then after that, it's no happy ending because there's rivalry between the two sisters. Okay? Any brothers thinking that it's not, okay? It's always bad, okay? Even sisters, okay, will fight over you. In the end, his life is like a male gigolo, okay, rather than a husband, okay. Then, in the end, he also got friction with his father-in-law because his father-in-law tried to cheat him. Then he tried to outwit the father-in-law. In the end, he did manage, okay, and he became very rich. But then what happened? Both the father-in-law and his brothers-in-law got angry, got jealous, because they felt that he has cheated them of their wealth. So in the end, he has to run again. So he's really a running man, right? Run from Esau, now he got to run from his father-in-law. And then of course, there's another story that I will not go in, is that he, in the end, he did settle with his father-in-law, that he got to put the stones as a witness and all that. But in the end, when he reached chapter 32, he sent messages to greet his brother, then came back with the news that his brother was coming to him with 400 men. Wow, suddenly, after struggling 20 years, acquiring some wealth, he again have to face this dreaded enemy of his, okay? Once that he had ran away from for 20 years, now finally he still got to face him. This brother who has swear that he will kill him, okay, when the father died. By the way, the father is still around, okay? So what happened? What's his solution? As usual, he started his own solution. He divided the people, okay? Divided the flock, divided the herds and camels into two camps, thinking that cut the loss. If one gone, we still got one half. So it's like sometimes we are in the stock market, right? Cut loss. But this case, not a very clever way of doing things. The only thing he did right is he prayed. In chapter 32, verse 9 to 12, he prayed. That's the only right action. Then after that, he started to send presents to appease his brother, try to buy peace, okay? So-called try to buy, to bribe his brother, okay? So basically, he returned to his own crafty way again, okay? Actually, we know that before that, he was telling his wife, like, wow, we have to run because, wow, God gave me this dream. This is how I should do it to gain. But why suddenly he's back to his old way again? So sometimes I look at Jacob, I say, I'm also like him. God solved one problem. I felt that, wow, thank God, wow, you helped me solve this. Then very soon another problem come. I start to what? Do it on my own way again, right? Find my own solution, okay? So we will come to today's text, okay? In chapter 32, verse 22 to 24. So that same night, after he's done all this, sending all the presents, he arose and took his two wives and his two female servants. The two female servants are also his wives, are his concubines, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. And then he took them and sent them across the stream and everything that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of dawn. I want to pause here to say something. Interesting that God waited until he was alone. Actually, that alone is really alone. He's at the end of his road. No more solution, okay? He has sent everything over. He's the only one left, okay? The interesting thing, God didn't meet him in chapter 32, verse 1. Remember in chapter 32, verse 1, the angels of God met him, right? Then he said, oh, this must surely be the camp of God, right? God didn't meet him there. God waited till he was alone, then meet him. The second thing I want to mention is that God came to him as a man. God didn't came to him in a very glorious form, okay? Like an angel or anything. But came to him as a man. So some commentator was asking, was that Christ, the first incarnation there, then, okay? And then wrestle with him. One of the things about wrestling is you can run away if somebody wants to fight you, right? A spear or a gun or something, you can run. But wrestling, you cannot, because he already grabbed hold of you. How to run? And you got no choice, though. You got to carry on, okay? It's like the Mongolian wrestling. He already holding of you. So the only way to respond is you have to overcome the other person. If not, you there's no choice, okay? What I'm trying to bring out to you is that in this case, God started it, not Jacob. And then Jacob actually got no choice. Okay? He got no choice but to fight and wrestle. Not fight, wrestle, okay? And until the breaking of day. That means it's a very long, intense struggle. Jacob didn't want to give up. Until now, he still didn't want to give up, okay? But interestingly, I want to point out is that God stayed with him in the struggle, not giving up either. Sometimes we always wonder, Father, why you put me in this situation, in this job that so stressful, or in this relationship so difficult, right? Or in this situation that I really would try not to be in. If I can get out, I'd like to get out. Okay, but somehow God didn't pluck us out. But I want to make this obvious is that when we are in such a situation, remember, actually God is with us in that struggle. He doesn't want us to give up, neither did he give up on us. That means he struggled through with us, like he struggled through with Jacob. Because God loved us so much, that he will bind himself to us even as we struggle to break free from him. Because the whole idea, if you're wrestling, you're trying to cause the other person to fall down and then you're going to break free, right? You're going to win, right? When you can't win, but God said, I will not let you go. Okay? So God is 100% committed to us, to his people. I would like to give a testify that I'm one such rascal also. I still remember when I first heard the gospel, I was in sect 2. Okay? And I still told my that good friend, a classmate, that you don't come and tell me all this Western religion, okay? And then I told him, all roads lead to Rome. All religions are the same, okay? You worship your Angmoh God, okay? I will worship my Chinese God, okay? So you don't disturb me, okay? But God never let me go, no? So even in after the secondary school, I went to poly. He kept giving me testimony after testimony. And then he brought me to a church. And then didn't let me go. Because I tried to attend a church rally and I lost my way. Can you imagine that? Topayo, how big is it, right? I cannot find the church. No? Can you imagine? Went round and round the whole night, cannot find it. But God never gave up. And God brought me to himself. Okay, so I'm also a rascal, okay? But God never gave up on me. So I really thank God. I really thank God that God really is committed to his people and he will save them by all means. Then the next section of the scripture tells us that when the man, and which we know is God himself, saw that Jacob did not prevail, or that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hip socket of Jacob, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he told Jacob, now is God who told Jacob, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Then he said to him, what is your name? And he said, replied, Jacob. Okay. Now, I'd like to point out again, when God did not prevail against Jacob, that is a very strange statement. How can God not prevail against Jacob? I mean, if he wants, the first second that he wrestled with Jacob, he could have just thrown him down, right? How can the Almighty God not prevail against Jacob? No, that means God really gave him chance right at the beginning. God could have won right at the beginning, but God was patient. God actually allowed Jacob to struggle. This is something I thought we need to remember. Sometimes we struggle not because God wants us to contain us in the struggle. It's because we insist on struggling and God allows us to struggle. Okay? But in spite of that, finally, God has to do something. God touched his hip socket and put it out of joint. Only one touch. He could have done it in the beginning, right? First, second, touch, bye-bye, ding, dong, 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 gone, right? But he let him struggle whole night, then touch him, out of joint, so defeated him. When your hip is out of joint, you can't even stand up, okay? So how to wrestle? It's like me, now I can't even turn properly, okay? I need to like a robot like that. So imagine if your hip joint is gone, you cannot, no? Wrestle, okay? But God didn't do that. God let him struggle, no? Okay? Why? God is very patient towards us. And then now, instead of Jacob saying it, God said, let me go. But wasn't that, this is what Jacob want all the time, right? He wanted independence, right? He wanted to run his own show, like me, I always like to run my own show. I always tell people, sometimes I'm very hard to work under someone because I like independence, okay? I'm a very difficult person to work with, okay? But Jacob said, then God said, okay, now you let me go, okay? You want independence, let me go, don't cling to me. But now it's reverse. Jacob said, I will not let you go. Suddenly he learned his lesson, okay? So I hope we too will learn this lesson, okay? As we struggle, when we come to a point that it is God who is holding us, okay? Struggling with us. Not because he wants us to struggle, but because we are the one who is continuing the struggle. Then, remember, don't let go. I think this is the only right time to be stubborn, okay? Sometimes stubborn is not good, but this time it's good to be stubborn. Stubbornly cling on to God. And then God asks a very interesting question. What is your name? Basically, he's asking, what is your character? Who are you? Okay? And Jacob this time around answered honestly. Remember, Isaac asked him, who are you? What's your name? I'm Esau, your son. But now, this time, he answered honestly, I'm Jacob. In Hebrew, actually, literally said, I am the heel catcher. I'm the supplanter. I'm the one who sabotaged another person, okay? I'm the sabotager, okay? So he acknowledged himself, his true self, his true character before God. When he does that, that is all that actually God wants. Sometimes I find myself like Jacob, okay? That my approach in life is, God help those who help themselves, right? You always hear this, God help those who help themselves. Or get what I can in any way I can and do it fast as you can, okay? Or trust no one, okay? Especially right now, I was having some problem with my renovation contractor. Trusted him in the beginning. Now he's giving me a lot of headache. Then I said, I should not have trusted him, okay? Yeah. So, since trust no one is a very good philosophy, right? Rely on myself. That's my mother's motto. Just all the while, her whole life, don't trust anybody, don't rely on anybody, rely on yourself, okay? It's like what Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. But all these are but disguises to mask his true self. A heel catcher, a deceitful and treacherous man. Okay. So the point I want to make is that actually God loves us so much that not only will he bind himself to us, that he will actually break us so that we can come clean before him. Yes, until his hip joint was touched and put out of joint, he continued to struggle. Okay, God has to break him. Okay, and sometimes I felt that God also have to break me lah. Okay, I still remember when I came back in 2004, 2005, thinking that I have served God for 5 years in Cambodia. And then in 2005, I was diagnosed with stomach cancer. And I asked the question, why? God, you don't make sense, eh? Right? I serve you 5 years, eh? I give you 5 years, and I intend to rest 1 year and go back. Eh? And then I said, you allow me to have stomach cancer. Makes no sense. But actually now, as I look back, make a lot of sense. God needs to break me. Okay. Because I got the wrong idea. I think I'm going there to do a great thing for him. But actually all he wanted me is to go there and learn about myself, to be humbled. Okay. So sometimes God's love for us is a tough love. It's not the wishy-washy, mushy love. Not like Rebecca, his Jacob's mother, okay? It's the love that is very indulgent, or Isaac's love, also very indulgent, okay? Favoritism, okay? Siding one against another. No, God's love is a tough love. He loves us so much that he's willing to sometimes lead us through difficulty. But he didn't lead us through alone. He lead us together with us, suffer with us, break us. Why? Because he loves us. Okay. That's why he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And the next part of the passage, the last part, then he said, that's God saying, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. That literally, the word there, Israel, means God prevails, okay? God prevails or God persists, okay? So because why? Name actually reflects a person, personality, and character and experience. His identity. That's why Jacob, right at the beginning, he's called Jacob because he's a heel catcher. So his name describes him. But after being broken, God said, no, you shall no longer be like that. You no longer be such a sabotager. You are going to be a new person. A person who tells everybody around you who you really are. You are a person, why? Love and save because God persists. Not because you persist, okay? But God persists, God prevails. That is his new identity, and that's our new identity. And then suddenly, Jacob has the right question. Please tell me your name. He finally has a desire to know God. No longer, if you do this for me, then you will be my God. No, no more. It's, I want to know you. Who are you exactly, God? And God didn't. God said, well, why do you want to know my name? Right? Yeah. But when he walked out from that valley there, that lonely place, Jacob is able to say, for I have seen God face to face. No more if. God is now known to him. It's quite an irony, right? When he was doing all this, dividing his family, dividing the herbs and the cows and all the servants, he was fearful of seeing Esau face to face. But now, after meeting God face to face, the passage told us that he got up and then he crossed over, getting ready to meet Esau now. Okay? So until he learns to fear God, learn to meet God face to face, he actually could not meet Esau face to face. So my third point is, God loves us so much that he will bless us with a new beginning. So in the New Testament, we are told that when we come to him, we are a new creation. And this is important. If God just bind himself to us, if God just love us so much that he will break us, but then don't remake us, then we're just a broken man, right? No longer running man. Running man is not so good, but broken man also not so great either, right? So he make us a new man. Okay. Recently, I just heard somebody share with me that there was a building in Singapore that was owned by the government. The government want to redo it, okay? So they set aside a certain amount to renovate and all that. But at the end, after all the architecture drawing and all the bidding exercise, they discover that it's actually cheaper to tear down everything and rebuild. Okay? So sometimes I think that's exactly what God does, okay? To renovate us, actually it doesn't work, okay? So he doesn't renovate a sinner. He actually said, nail the sinner to the cross. We have to die. We have to be broken. Then the hope is that he gives us a new life, new beginning. And then eventually we're going to have a new body. That's God's way of doing things, okay? And thank God, if you are shooting a movie, the movie moves on. Chapter 32, verse 31. The sun rose upon him, Jacob, as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Yes, he left that place with a scar, okay? A disability, okay? But he left a new man, okay? So I hope that we will learn this lesson, that with God, he will always be committed to us 100%. But let me put these three lessons in a different way, okay? It's that we need to be still to stop struggling so that God can work. Sometimes the long struggle is not God wants it to be a long struggle. It's because we prolong it. So the moment we stop struggling, the end will come. Number two, we need to stop running away. I also like to run. If you do a DISC on me, I'm the person who like to not confront. If a problem, if possible, I run away, okay? But God said, you have to stop running away on the cut of your self-reliance, okay? But cling to him, because we cannot run forever. Number three, we need to recognize that all the time, we really need to be broken so that God can create us anew, okay? There's no other solution. The cross is the only solution, okay? The cross means dying. If we don't die with Christ, then we cannot rise with Christ. Let's close your word of prayer. Father, we just want to come before you asking that, Lord, you will do this great work in us. And Lord, by your grace and mercy, please be gentle with us, even as you break us. But Lord, remold us, recreate us, so that Lord, we will be a new man that can live out a life that will bring glory to your name, will bring your blessing to the rest of the world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.